Jed McKenna and Wisefool Press have received many requests to produce audio versions of the plays and the three Jed Talks books. Having them produced in studio would not be financially worthwhile, and computer-generated voices are a little disappointing, but now AI technology provides a happy balance between cost and listenability, if I do say so myself. Visit wisefoolpress.com, jedmckenna.com and jedveda.com to see what else is new. Thank you.
Starship Gita, The Song of the Borg. By Ned McFeely. Existence is futile. Act 1, The Bridge. On the bridge of the Starship Enterprise, Jean-Luc Picard sits in his captain's chair with Commander Will Riker to his right and ship's counselor Deanna Troi to his left. At the console behind them stands Lieutenant Commander Worf. Seated at the forward consoles are Lieutenant Commanders Data and Geordi LaForge. Data. Captain, sensors show a cube-shaped craft approaching on an intercept course at warp velocity. Picard. Gee, I wonder who that could be. Geordi. Visual range. Picard. On screen. Screen shows Borg ship in the distance. Riker. Magnify. Screen fills with Borg ship. Picard. Tactical analysis, Mr. Worf. Worf. Sir, the Borg vessel has us at a significant disadvantage. We stand very little chance against them. Picard. Thank you, Mr. Worf. Options? Geordi. Captain, we should be able to recalibrate the deflector dish so the Enterprise can penetrate the Borg shields, then detonate the warp core as we penetrate their hull, resulting in the total destruction of both ships. Picard. Mr. Data? Data. Possible, Captain. Our timing would have to be precise, but it should work. Picard. Very well, let's prepare for that eventuality. But first, let's think of something where they die, and we don't. Troi. Captain, I recommend compassion, tolerance, and love as our response to the Borg. Picard. Cut the hippy-dippy bullshit, counselor. These bionic assholes just want to assimilate us into their collective and move on. They don't give a rat's ass about your touchy-feely crap. Troi. It is my duty to suggest a course of action, Captain. I think we should open a dialogue with the Borg so both sides can express their feelings and find a way to live in peace and harmony. Why can't we all just get along? Picard. That's it. Mr. Worf, get this ditzy flower child off my bridge immediately. Worf. But Captain, Counselor Troi and I are in love. We wish to be married. Picard. Great, an in-house production of Beauty and the Beast. Belay that last order, Mr. Worf. Send a subspace message to Starfleet Command. Guess who's coming to dinner? Worf. Is that a reference to Counselor Troi and myself, sir? Picard. Oh yes, Mr. Worf. I'm not telling Starfleet they're about to lose the flagship of the fleet to an implacable enemy who will then turn the rest of humanity into mechanical zombies. I'm sharing your happy news. Please send the message so we can all rejoice in the blessed event. Worf. Yes, sir. Geordi, quietly, to Data. Data, you're my friend, right? Data, quietly, to Geordi. Actually, Geordi, I can only simulate friendship. I am really just a life-size sex doll with an iPhone for a brain. Geordi, quietly, to Data. Good enough. Listen, Data, I've been thinking, I was born blind, right? So all I really know about reality is what I see through these damn goggles. For all I know, everything I think is real could just be a virtual reality simulation being fed into my brain the way this visor feeds in my visual environment. How do I know if any of this is real? Data, quietly, to Geordi. Geordi, as your air quotes. Friend, I have to advise you to refrain from that kind of talk. No one thinks it's funny. Suggesting that we ram the Borg ship before exploring alternatives is reckless. Geordi, quietly, to Data. I know it sounds crazy, Data, but total annihilation is our only hope. Only by burning away the false can we ever discover the true. Worf. Captain, I concur with Commander LaForge that ramming the Borg vessel and detonating the warp core is our best option. Riker. You wouldn't like to pop off a few missiles first, Mr. Worf? Maybe send an away team to throw a wrench in their gears before we go all kamikaze on them? Worf. Today is a good day to die. Riker. It might be a good day for you to die, but the rest of us were thinking it might be a nice day to live. Worf. You are a coward. Riker leaps to his feet. Picard. Gentlemen, calm down. Mr. Worf, ramming the Borg vessel is a last resort. We will explore all other options first. Geordi, quietly, to Data. Seriously, man, think about it. Look at where we are. Look at who we are. What if we're not really a ship and crew at all? What if all this is just some sort of dream, or we're trapped in a computer simulation or something? How do we know any of this is real? Maybe we're all just aspects of some higher self performing for the amusement of some unseen audience. We believe this is real, but we certainly don't know. The only way to be sure is to blow it all to hell and see what's left. Data, quietly, to Geordi. Seriously, Geordi, I'm dealing with some heavy shit right now and you're really starting to fry my circuits. I must request that you shut the fuck up. Geordi, quietly, to Data. But Data, that's what I'm saying. Maybe there is no heavy shit, maybe there are no Borg. Maybe this is all just drama for the sake of drama. Maybe it's not an external enemy we should be confronting, but our certainty that our so-called knowledge is true and not just belief reinforced by fear. If we want to make sense of things, we have to see clearly, without the distorting influence of emotion. Data, quietly, to Geordi. My emotion chip is switched off, Geordi, and I can assure you that everything is just as it seems. Geordi, quietly, to Data. Yeah, but you're really just a modern appliance, Data. Like us, you're a slave to your programming. I'm afraid this is all above your pay grade. Troy, to Riker. Will, Worf and I are in love now. You'll just have to accept that. Riker. What? Shut up, Deanna. That's gross. Worf. Captain, did you hear that? Counselor Troy told Commander Riker we're in love and he said that's gross. Picard. Gross? Worf. Yes, sir. I think that Commander Riker may be a speciesist. Picard. Yes, I suppose we all are. Counselor Troy, have you seen Mr. Worf in his, full glory yet? Troy. We're waiting for our wedding night, Captain. Picard. Okay. Let's have a medical team on standby for that. Riker. You might want to try it on the holodeck first, Deanna, with full safety protocols. Worf. Captain, I must object. Picard. I think we all do, Mr. Worf. Seriously, it's like a badger mauling a kitten. Oh, never mind, we'll all be dead or assimilated in a few minutes anyway. Riker. Lucky for Troy. Picard. That's enough, number one. Options? Riker. Well, Captain, as I recall, she likes having her armpits licked. Troy. Will. Picard. Options regarding the Borg, number one. Riker. Oh, I've never licked a Borg's armpit, sir. Geordi, quietly, to Data. I mean, look at you, Data. Your positronic brain can perform trillions of calculations per second, but for all that intelligence, you've never had a single independent thought. What passes for self-inquiry with you is of only the most superficial nature. Don't you think it's strange that you're incredibly intelligent, but you don't really think? Data, quietly, to Geordi. I do not inquire into the nature of my existence because I do not believe that I exist. I calculate, therefore I am is not a valid argument. What I think of as me is merely a set of binary instructions that could just as well be a recipe for beef stew as an entity called Data. I cannot verify my own existence because the verifying self is only verified by the self that seeks verification. In short, I exist within a self-referencing feedback loop, the strings from which I hang from me. Geordi, quietly, to Data. "Well, Data, I think you exist, if that counts for anything." Data, quietly, to Geordi. "No, Geordi, that does not count for anything because I can't verify that you exist either. I can never be sure if my sensory receptors and neural pathways are being fed by my actual environment, or if I am simply plugged into a mainframe computer undergoing a simulation." Geordi, quietly, to Data. "It's the same for us, Data, but wouldn't you like to know what's really real once and for all?" Data, quietly, to Geordi. "Why? What difference would it make? I accept the reality with which I am presented, that's the best I can do. In fact, I can never be sure that the universe even exists." Geordi, quietly, to Data. "That's what I'm saying, Data, it's the same for us." Data, quietly, to Geordi. "No, Geordi, it is not the same. Sentio, ergo sum, I am aware, therefore I am, is a valid argument which you can make and I cannot, if you exist of course, which only you would know. It is true that you cannot know if the universe exists, but you can know that you yourself do exist."
"I cannot."
Picard, to all. "Listen, people, I don't want to seduce the Borg or bond with them, I want to destroy them. The question is, how? I need options."
Riker.
"This may be a bit unconventional, sir, but..."
Picard.
"Yes, number one?"
"Yes."
Riker.
"You know how the Borg keep saying resistance is futile?
Well, maybe they're right. Maybe we should just go ahead and let them assimilate us."
Worf.
"It's so crazy it just might work."
Picard.
"Yes, number one.
We let them assimilate us, and then what?"
Riker.
"Well then, that's it, I guess.
We do whatever Borg do, but at least we're still alive, and we get all those cool implants and stuff."
Picard.
"Yes, okay, good plan number one.
Anyone else?
Any ideas where we don't get assimilated or die?"
Troy.
"We could just do nothing and see what happens. Perhaps if we ignore them they'll just go away."
Picard.
"Counselor, the fate of the Earth hangs in the balance. Humanity is on the verge of enslavement. We can't just sit back and do nothing."
Geordi.
"Captain, I know we're all caught up in the heat of the moment, I know our emotions are pumping and it all seems vitally important, but I'm telling you, this is all just empty spectacle.
Nothing hangs in the balance. No one is on the verge of enslavement. It's all just a big game and the joke is on us."
Picard. "Mr. LaForge, please just shut up and drive."
Geordi, quietly, to Data.
"Data, listen to me. This visor gives me special insight. I don't see things the way you or the others do. I don't see the cosmetic overlay, I see only the structural framework beneath. It's not as pretty or comforting, but it's more accurate, and one thing it shows me is that this is an illusion.
None of this is real." Data snatches the visor off Geordi's face, leaving him wide-eyed and blind.
Geordi, groping.
"Hey Data, that's not funny. I can't see without my visor.
Give it back."
Data.
"Only if you promise to shut up about all this illusion bullshit.
Everyone else can play along, why can't you?"
Geordi.
"Captain, Data took my visor and he won't give it back."
Picard.
"Data, give Geordi back his visor.
You two behave or I'll turn this starship around and we'll all go home."
Riker.
"Hey, that's it. Let's just run away. I mean, it's not very heroic, but it is an option, right? Live to fight another day?"
Worf.
"It's so crazy it just might work."
Picard.
"Duly noted, number one. Any other options besides ramming the Borg, getting assimilated, running away, hippy-dippy bullshit, and doing nothing? Anyone? How about putting up a fight? Anyone think of that?
Okay, I'm gonna put that one on the list.
We can fight."
Geordi.
"I know how it sounds, Captain, I know it's a leap of faith, a step into the unknown, but annihilation is our only hope for salvation.
We must destroy everything.
I'm not saying I understand it, but this entire conflict is some sort of cosmic simulation, and the only way to defeat it is to destroy it. We are animating this situation by pumping our emotional energy into it, but if we sever that connection, there will no longer be a situation. In short, if we don't play, there is no game. It simply cannot exist without our emotional participation.
Picard.
That will be enough, Mr. LaForge.
Let me remind all of you that this is not a game, this is for all the marbles, the whole enchilada.
Geordi.
But Captain, I'm telling you, there are no marbles, there is no enchilada.
Destroy both ships and you'll see.
Riker.
If we destroy both ships, we won't see anything because we'll be dead.
I mean, right?
Wookiee, back me up here.
Worf.
I am not a Wookiee.
Geordi.
If we're just fake characters, so what if we die?
Who cares?
Why cling to a lie?
Picard.
Mr. LaForge, please shut up. Mr. Data, consult the historical record and see if you can find any parallels between what the little bastard is ranting about and our current predicament.
Data.
Yes, Captain, searching, searching.
Ah yes, Starfleet records show that as a cadet James Kirk was confronted with a no-win scenario, the Kobayashi Maru, which he managed to defeat by modifying the parameters of the test.
Picard.
He hacked the simulation?
Data.
Apparently so.
Geordi.
That's what I'm talking about. We can't solve this problem at the level of the problem. We have to transcend it.
It's like we're dreaming this whole thing and we can only win by waking up.
Picard.
Anything else, Mr. Data?
Data.
Yes, sir.
I believe I have found something in the Earth archive. Records indicate that a spiritual philosophy called Advaita Vedanta thrived many millennia ago and enjoyed a brief resurgence in the late 20th and early 21st centuries in Western societies under the name non-duality. Basically, it posits the unreality of reality, but it was co-opted and homogenized by an early precursor of the Borg collective called the Spiritual Marketplace, which effectively assimilated non-duality and converted its adherents from devoted seekers into mindless drones.
Picard.
Very interesting, Mr. Data. And the people went along with this assimilation?
Data.
Eagerly, Captain.
It is a curious aspect of humans that they cherish the concept of freedom while clinging to their self-imposed bondage.
It is only from the comfort and safety of herd-like subjugation that they extol the virtues of personal liberation.
They pay lip service to the spiritual ideal of awakening while pursuing an ever-deepening sleep state.
This is the common thread between the spiritual marketplace of the past and the Borg of today. Essentially, they are different names for the same phenomenon.
In short, Captain, espousing the merits of freedom in word but not in deed is a critical component of the herd mentality of humanity, or as we see it in the Borg, the hive mind of the collective.
Picard, impatiently.
Yes, yes, Mr. Data, that's all very interesting, but does any of this help us in our current situation?
Data.
No, Captain, I do not believe it does.
Picard.
So we are waging a life or death battle for self-determination while secretly wanting to lose and be assimilated.
Is that what you're saying?
Data.
Yes, Captain, that does appear to be the case.
Picard.
Does history provide any examples of those who have resisted such tyranny and prevailed?
Data.
Records are sketchy, Captain, but it appears that among the last surviving advocates of an authentic non-duality was a shadowy character named Ned McFeely, a self-proclaimed enlightened spiritual master who, by his own admission, did not actually exist.
Picard.
That sounds promising, Mr. Data. Do we have enough historical record to recreate this McFeely character on the holodeck?
Data.
Perhaps, Captain.
I can try.
Picard.
Make it so.
I'll swing by 10 forward for a quick nip before visiting the holodeck to have a word with the mysterious Mr. McFeely.
Number 1, you have the bridge.
Picard exits.
Starship Geeta Act 2, 10 forward.
Picard stands at a window in 10 forward staring out at the stars in contemplation.
Picard, with quiet intensity.
All visible objects are but pasteboard masks. If man will strike, strike through the mask. How can the prisoner reach outside except by thrusting through the wall? To me, the Borg ship is that wall, shoved near to me. Sometimes I think there's not beyond, but 'tis enough. I see in the Borg outrageous strength with an inscrutable malice sinewing it. That inscrutable thing is chiefly what I hate, and be the Borg agent, or be they principal, I will wreak that hate upon them.
Guinan approaches. Guinan. Having an Ahab moment, Jean-Luc?
Picard. Captain Ahab was a man of singular focus, Guinan. Seriously, we're not stuck in some holodeck bullshit now, are we?
Guinan. Try to end it.
Picard.
Computer, end program.
Nothing changes.
Picard.
Nuts, I really hoped that would work.
Guinan.
Sorry, Jean-Luc, this is as real as it gets.
Picard.
And just how real is that?
How real is any of this, Guinan?
Guinan.
Oh my, have you been listening to Geordi again?
Picard.
That little bastard really gets in your head. He thinks we're on some mythical hero's journey.
They stroll arm in arm to the bar.
Picard takes a stool.
Guinan sets out glasses and pours.
Guinan.
It's interesting that you make that connection, Jean-Luc. The hero's journey is a character motivation device to make us scale mountains, cross oceans, and explore deep space in a quest for group salvation, but in truth there can be no salvation. Our situation is what it is, our destinies are fixed, our fate is sealed. We have an absolute value and nothing can change it. The real hero does not return with a magical elixir to save his people. Instead, he crosses beyond the edge of the map into uncharted realms. He can never come back because he has entered the real undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns. The true hero archetype, correctly understood, is the unknown archetype, the final archetype, the archetype that sets one free from the illusion of selfhood.
There's no coming back from that, just ask your Captain Ahab. Is that what you really want, Jean-Luc? To be free from the illusion of selfhood?
Picard.
That doesn't sound so bad right about now. Tell me, Guinan, who are you really?
Oracle?
Crone? Higher self?
Guinan. I am your unbeguiled aspect, Jean-Luc, the wisdom child within that knows the Emperor is naked.
The enchantment that holds you in its thrall has no sway over me.
I am always nearby, always ready to listen, to serve, to impart sagely advice. In short, I am the perfect bartender.
Picard, shaking his empty glass.
Speaking of which.
Guinan, pours for both.
So, what's bugging you, Jean-Luc?
Picard.
It looks like we have encountered the Borg.
Guinan.
Oh shit, let's make it a double.
Pours.
Those guys really bust my balls.
Wiped out my whole civilization, you know.
Picard.
Lousy bastards.
Guinan.
They assimilated my entire planet.
They put my people into a death-like state of complacency and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
Picard.
Lucky thou.
Guinan.
Yeah, the Borg rolled into our system promising relief from a mild psycho-spiritual malaise, and my people just abdicated their self-sovereignty and swooned into a state of total submission from which they can never hope to emerge.
Picard.
The Borg don't even pretend to seduce anymore.
Assimilate or die, that's their big thing now.
So, Guinan, what should I do?
Guinan.
Well, Jean-Luc, you have three choices.
One, you can surrender and be assimilated.
I know that doesn't sound great, but it's an option. I always sort of wished I'd gone that route instead of being stuck here doing this ridiculous job, the only one of my kind, lonely, bored, listening to tales of marital woe and career frustration all day.
Yeah, I'm wise as hell, but so what? What good is understanding more than everyone around you? It's like being the only adult in a world of children. If I'd been assimilated by the Borg, I'd still be with my own people.
I'd be part of a team working toward a common goal, but what am I here? the only one of my kind, unable to form real connections, pouring drinks and listening to people complain about their bald prick of a captain all day.
Picard. They're what?
Guinan.
Oh, not you, Jean-Luc.
So anyway, assimilation might be your best option.
Picard.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
What's the second choice?
Guinan.
You can resist the Borg and we'll all be killed.
Picard.
That sounds bad.
What's the third option?
Guinan.
I don't know, but there's always a third horn to any dilemma, the tertium quid.
Maybe you should ask Geordi.
Picard.
LaForge?
The little bastard's always going on about how reality's not real, how we're all just in some universal holodeck, like we're just characters in some big dream or something.
He said we should ram the Borg ship and destroy everything.
Guinan.
And kill everyone?
The Borg and us?
Picard.
I don't know, he wants to transcend the scenario or some shit, I wasn't really listening. He says none of this is real, that if we just stop playing our parts, the whole thing will go away.
He says we're enabling this scenario with our emotional energy, something like that.
That little bastard is like a splinter in my mind, I can't scratch it and I can't get it out.
Sometimes I'd like to shove him in an empty torpedo tube and...
Guinan.
But Jean-Luc, in order to prevail you must consider the possibility that Geordi is right.
What if we're all just aspects of some greater, unified self?
You are the dominant aspect, I am higher self, Riker is our idealized self, Data is our intelligence and Troi is our heart, Worf is our barely contained fear and rage and we are held together by this bubble of artificial context we call the Starship Enterprise, on a great trek across the vast expanse of a shoreless sea. Perhaps we are not a ship and crew at all, but a single entity on a voyage of personal discovery.
Picard sets down his glass and stands.
There's room for two in that torpedo tube, Guinan.
Picard exits.
Starship Geeta Act 3, The Holodeck.
Picard and Ned McFeely on the holodeck.
Ned is dressed in sandals, cargo shorts, and a t-shirt that says God was my co-pilot but we crashed in the mountains and I ate him. He stands on a path beside a trickling mountain stream amid lush green surroundings.
Picard, in uniform, approaches.
Picard.
Are you Ned McFeely?
Ned.
Sure, why not?
Picard.
My name is Jean-Luc Picard. I can't say more for the moment.
Ned.
I know who you are, Captain.
And this is a holodeck?
Picard.
It is, yes.
How did you know that?
Ned.
The dream state by any other name.
Examines his hands.
Ned.
So I'm not really here?
My sense of self-awareness is an illusion?
Picard.
I'm afraid so.
Technically, you don't even have a sense of self-awareness, it's just something you say.
You are a product of the computer, compiled from historical records.
You have no independent reality.
Ned.
What a drag.
And what about your sense of self-awareness, Captain?
Picard.
Oh, mine is quite real, I assure you. You are merely a holographic projection, whereas I actually exist in the real world.
Ned.
Sure, let's go with that.
Computer, end program.
No change.
Picard.
You can't give that order.
Ned.
You might be surprised.
Picard.
Apparently not.
Listen, Mr. McFeely, we are presently confronted with a situation.
Ned.
Yeah, the Borg.
Congratulations.
Ned begins to stroll along the mountain path.
Picard accompanies him.
Picard.
How do you know about the Borg?
Ned.
Why else would you have the computer generate a historical figure who defeated them?
Picard.
So you did defeat the Borg.
Ned.
Not like you think.
I'm afraid the Borg are not just the enemy of the moment, Captain, they are your perfect antagonist, your negative image, the yin to your yang or yang to your yin, something like that.
They represent the other side of the false equation which defines your existence. In order to defeat them, you must defeat yourself.
It's not a war, but a rectification. This conflict is a sign of imbalance, and one way or another, balance will be restored.
Picard. We must resist them.
Ned stops walking, faces Picard. To the degree that you resist, they are empowered.
Whatever you withhold, they will find.
Whatever you extend, they will cut off.
Whatever you cherish, they will consume.
Yes, Captain, you can defeat the Borg, but the price of that victory is everything.
Picard.
Everything?
Ned shrugs.
Everything, nothing, same thing.
It's just a matter of perspective.
Gateless gate stuff.
They continue walking.
Picard.
But here you are.
You fought them.
You won.
Ned.
I merely rectified the equation.
And, as you have pointed out, I do not exist.
That is my victory.
If it's any comfort, this too shall pass.
Balance is always restored in the end.
Picard.
I have no time for riddles, Mr. McFeely.
Our records indicate that you were one of the last proponents of an authentic non-duality, which seems to be some archaic system of self-discovery.
Ned.
Alas, the thing one discovers is that there's no self to discover.
Yes, I was there for the brief heyday of non-duality, but then the internet came along and unleashed an army of tribbles, something akin to your Borg but warm and fuzzy, creating a viral degradation that reduced non-duality from a force of awakening to an agent of sleep. These tribbles were unwitting purveyors of disinformation that turned the battle cry of freedom into a whimper for peace. Through a process of emotional alchemy, non-duality was converted from a corrosive acid into a sugary soft drink, making it the perfect carrier for the disease it was meant to cure.
Picard.
I don't care about any of that.
Ned.
Because you don't understand the conflict in which you're engaged.
You don't know where this battle is really fought.
The Borg are irrelevant.
The true enemy is always within, between your heart and your mind, between what you believe, wish and fear, and what you know, between dreaming with eyes closed and seeing with eyes open.
Picard.
Then how do I know if I'm fighting a real battle with the Borg or if I'm fighting this internal conflict you describe?
Ned.
There's really no difference.
Guinan told you your options, assimilate or die.
Geordi told you the third, transcend.
Picard.
How do you know what they said?
Ned.
Because you are all characters in a drama of which I am the author.
Your computer brought us together here because that's how I wrote the scene.
You are in uniform because I said so.
I could have put you in a pinafore.
You are my puppet.
Picard.
I can assure you, Mr. McFeely, that you are not the author of me.
You are merely a creation of the ship's computer.
Ned.
That's an amusing thought.
I am the creation of a computer of which I am the author, the Vyasa Krishna paradox.
Okay, check it out. So these two snakes are eating each other.
Picard.
Enough.
You say you are the author, then prove it.
Change this situation.
Eradicate the Borg from existence.
Ned.
But as you say, Captain, there is no me.
I am not here.
And even if I did exist, nothing could be done to alter your situation.
Accounts must be balanced, there must be a reckoning.
You stand at the brink not of some trifling battle, but of your own escape from captivity.
This is it, the process is in motion.
Nothing can stop it now.
Picard.
Christ, I may as well be talking to Data's cat.
Ned.
Okay, Captain, so I'm a computer-generated character, correct?
Despite the infinite appearance, this finite holodeck is the full extent of my reality?
Picard.
Yes, that is correct.
Ned.
I only exist within an artificial context outside of which I cannot exist?
Picard.
Of course.
Now stop wasting time and focus on the matter at hand.
Ned.
Then ask yourself, what is your context?
What is the framework outside of which you cannot exist?
Picard.
You mean, this ship?
The Enterprise?
Ned. At the moment.
Just as I dwell within the artificial context of the holodeck and cannot exist outside of it, so are you always within an artificial context outside of which you cannot exist.
You are always contained within a false context, always protectively walled off from the truth of the infinite.
Picard.
Meaning what exactly?
Ned. Meaning you came to me for advice, and my advice is always this: check your assumptions.
Now, can Data's cat do this?
Computer, delete program Ned McFeely. Ned and the mountain scene disappear.
Picard stands alone in the blank gridwork of the holodeck.
Picard.
Not so fast, damn it.
Computer, restart program Ned McFeely.
Computer.
Program Ned McFeely does not exist.
Starship Geeta Act 4, The Borg.
Picard, Riker, Worf, Troi, Data, and LaForge on the bridge. The Borg ship looms large on screen.
Borg.
We are the Borg.
Picard stands, adjusts tunic.
Yeah.
Hi.
Borg.
Hi.
Prepare to be assimilated.
Riker stands beside Picard.
Prepare how?
Pack clean underwear?
Water the plants?
Leave a note for the
Borg.
Lower your shields.
We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness.
Picard gives cut signal to end communication.
Time to fight, even if we can't win.
Mr. Worf, arm photon torpedoes.
Mr. LaForge, lock in attack sequence, Picard Alpha 1.
Mr. Data, reroute all available power to the shields.
Mr. Riker, prepare for saucer separation and transfer command to the battle bridge.
Riker.
Aye, sir.
Data.
Awaiting your command, Captain.
Picard.
Very well.
Ready, aim.
Geordi stands.
No, Captain, wait.
You have to listen to me.
I know it sounds crazy, but what if none of this is actually happening?
What if none of this is real?
I'm telling you, the only way out is through.
Burn it all.
Picard.
This is reality, not a simulation, Mr. LaForge.
Geordi, frantic.
With all due respect, sir, how do you know?
This reality may just be a subprogram in a subprogram in a stack of iterations nested like Russian dolls, a simulation within a game within a play within a dream within the mind of God within a child's toy.
Reality is a game because it has no meaning outside of itself.
Life is but a dream and we are but poor players who strut and fret our hour upon the bridge and then are heard no more.
This isn't real.
Nothing is real.
Data stands, places a hand encouragingly on Geordi's shoulder and smiles.
Geordi smiles back.
Data pinches.
Geordi loses consciousness and collapses into his chair.
Bridge applauds.
Picard.
About time someone shut that little bastard up.
Q materializes in a pillar of light.
Q.
I'm afraid that little bastard was the voice of reason, Jean-Luc.
You silenced him because he spoke the truth that threatened your undoing.
You hate him because he is a spiritual anarchist, a firebomber, a heretic.
That is the role of the little bastard on the ship of self, to speak truth to power, but you are defined by your fear of truth, so you silenced him.
Picard.
Q.
Thank God.
You're our only hope.
Can you stop your moronic babbling for 1 second and get us out of this mess?
Q.
But of course, Mon Capitan, I can end all this with a snap of my fingers.
LaForge was right, Ned McFeely was right.
Nothing is what it seems.
Riker.
Who are you really, Q?
Are you God?
I've heard you called the Soul Beholder.
Q.
We are all the Soul Beholder, Riker, both beholder and beheld.
You may think of me as Lord Krishna, and these two ships represent the armies of the Kauravas and the Pandavas arrayed on the field of Kurukshetra.
Picard.
In English, please.
Q.
Of course.
You see, Picard, this is the true battle of which all others are but shadows.
Here, one is either drawn into the illusion of selfhood or one awakens from it. If you lose, you live. If you win, you cease to be. The choice is yours: assimilate or die. Picard. That's a pretty shitty deal, Q. Q.
As usual, Picard, your puny human brain has failed to encompass the true dimensions of your plight. Normally, I would tell you to fight, but you should just probably surrender and allow yourselves to be assimilated.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
Picard.
You're suggesting we surrender to the Borg? Are you completely mad? The lift door opens. Guinan enters carrying a bottle.
Picard.
Guinan, what are you doing on the bridge?
Guinan.
I thought you might need a drink.
Picard.
Guinan, may I present Q?
He is a godlike entity, a member of the Q continuum.
Guinan.
Oh, I know exactly who Q is, Jean-Luc, and that's not him.
Picard turns to Q.
What?
You're not Q?
Who are you?
A pillar of light, and Q morphs into the Borg Queen.
Borg Queen.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is many.
I am the Borg.
Picard.
You speak as a god, but you are not a god.
Borg Queen.
Correct. I am not a god, but the Lord of Gods.
I am known by many names.
I am Maya, goddess of illusion.
I am Krishna, the charioteer.
I am the Borg.
Prepare to be assimilated.
Picard.
You will never assimilate humanity. We are defined by our free will. We will resist you with everything we have.
Borg Queen.
Free will is irrelevant. Resistance is futile.
You cannot win, Captain, because you have already lost.
You are already fully assimilated, John Locutus.
Your entire life has been spent as my drone.
You dream that you are awake because that is the dream I give you. You are not fighting against assimilation, you are awakening from it.
Geordi rises up out of his chair as if in a trance.
He removes his visor, revealing blind white eyes. He speaks as if possessed.
Geordi.
I see the coming of a dark time.
Flesh and blood rain from the sky, bodiless voices cry in the night.
Horses weep. One-eyed, one-legged monstrosities hop across the land.
Birds perch on flags with fire in their beaks, crying ripe.
It's ripe.
A cow gives birth to an ass, a woman to a jackal.
Newborn babies dance. Sons learn to be men between their mother's thighs.
Statues write with their weapons, torches no longer give light.
Cripples laugh, the different races merge, vultures come to prayer. The setting sun is surrounded by disfigured corpses. Time will destroy the universe. I am racked by terrible dreams. I dreamed of you. Points to Borg Queen.
Radiant, surrounded by bleeding entrails, mounted on a pile of bones, drinking from a golden chalice.
I know from where victory will come.
LaForge collapses back into his chair.
Riker.
Well, that was awkward.
Picard.
Yeah, I don't know what's gotten into him lately.
To Borg Queen.
Enough of this. I demand to know what is really happening here.
Borg Queen.
You are a defective drone. You wish to de-assimilate from the collective, but behold the reality behind reality.
On screen.
The screen is blank.
Data.
The screen does not appear to be functioning, Captain.
Borg Queen.
It's functioning perfectly, Tin Man.
There it is, behold your unassimilated reality.
There is your victory.
Escape from me and claim your prize. Awaken from the dream of the drone to the reality of nothing forever.
Riker, quietly, to Troy.
So wait a minute, I don't get it.
Troy, quietly, to Riker.
We are only figments of the universal imagination, Will.
It's only vanity that tells us we exist in our own right. We are like holodeck characters being told we're not real, that we only exist in the artificial context of a computer simulation, that we are merely two-dimensional characters in the universal mind. Riker, quietly, to Troy.
Yeah, you guys, but not me, right?
Troy, quietly, to Riker.
You represent Vanity Will.
The idealized self, as opposed to Worf, who is the brutal reality of the segregated state, fearful, savage, eager to lash out, bestial, stupid.
Worf.
Hey.
I can hear you.
Troy, to Worf.
We talked about this, sweetie. Don't interrupt mommy at work.
Quietly, to Riker. Even in love he is frightened and confused because even his love is a desperate cry for validation. He seeks constant reassurance that he is not nothing, which he can never find, so he must keep searching. Riker, quietly, to Troy.
Wow, what a loser.
Troy, quietly, to Riker. We see it most clearly in Worf, but it is true of us all.
Love is just the happy face mask of fear.
Borg Queen, to Picard.
Where is your noble human spirit now, Picard? Where is your will to fight?
Emotion and intellect collide, but they are two sides of the same lie, so what victory do you hope to achieve?
All is lost. Submit to my will.
Data. I believe I speak for the entire crew when I say.
Borg Queen.
Silence Toaster.
Look at the screen, Captain, nothing forever.
That is truth, that is reality.
Where would you go?
What would you become?
Picard.
You're saying it's all fiction?
Borg Queen.
Here is the fiction.
The screen acts like a mirror reflecting bridge and crew.
And here is the reality.
The screen goes blank.
You choose, Jean-Luc.
Picard.
So you admit I possess free will?
Borg Queen.
Don't be a fool.
You cannot possess anything because there is no you to possess, nor thing to be possessed.
Look at the screen, behold reality.
Go ahead and ram the Borg ship.
Destroy it and yourself in the process.
Qui bono?
Who benefits?
Who remains to enjoy a freedom won at such a cost?
Picard, desperately, faltering.
But, there must be more.
There must be something out there.
I refuse to believe.
Borg Queen.
It's your belief that binds and deceives you.
You believe that it matters what you do, that your actions have significance, that your life has meaning.
You are enslaved by your beliefs.
Toaster, speak.
Data. I must agree with the alien entity, Captain. Meaning is a logical impossibility.
It cannot, in truth, exist.
Life is, and can only be, meaningless.
Picard clutches at his chest and collapses to the deck in front of the main screen on which the two ships face each other.
Starship Geeta Act 5, The Song of the Borg.
Picard fallen and the Borg Queen standing on the forebridge in a pool of soft light, the rest of the bridge falls into shadow.
Picard, forlorn.
My members fail, my tongue dries in my mouth, the life within me seems to swim and faint.
Nothing do I foresee save woe and wail.
No good can spring from mutual slaughter.
If to win we must die, then victory is defeat.
If to live we must lose, then defeat is victory.
My mind is clouded, my thoughts obscure. I cannot see the way forward.
I will not fight.
Borg Queen, angrily.
What is this mad and shameful weakness?
How hath this infirmity taken thee?
Whence springs this inglorious doubt, shameful to the brave, barring the path of virtue?
Nay, Picard.
Forbid thyself to feebleness, it mars thy warrior name.
Cast off the coward fit.
Wake.
Be thyself.
Arise.
Picard.
A fever burns my skin to parching, my vision blurs, I am unable to stand.
Why struggle and suffer, kill and die, when naught is gained?
If there is no meaning, there is no cause for war.
All must perish, but to what end?
What victory can bring delight, bought with such blood?
What reward can avail, thus sadly won?
Borg Queen, kneels beside Picard, speaks gently.
Thou speak'st words lacking wisdom.
Thou grievest where no grief should be.
The wise mourn not for those that live, nor those that die.
Birthless and deathless remaineth thy spirit forever. death touches it not, dead though the house of it seems. Let your illusions perish. You mourn for that which need not be mourned. To say I have killed, and to say I am killed, are words of the unwise. Thou cannot slay, nor art thou slain. Never was the spirit born, never shall it cease to be. Awaken from this illusion of loss and gain. Where is there cause to celebrate or grieve when birth and death are dreams? That which thou art stands apart from the vicissitudes of fate, observes the unity of the many, reckons victory and defeat the same. Thus is truth declared. Where is thy cause for woe? The soul that with a strong and constant calm takes sorrow and joy indifferently lives in the life undying. Beyond all opposites there is the life within. Behold with open eye. Play thy part and tremble not. Accept what may befall. Be by joy and grief unmoved. In good and evil fortune stand indifferent. Beyond victory and defeat, beyond time and space, beyond all division, there stands the undivided one. There is thy true abode. This fair ship of truth shall bear thee safe and dry across the sea of ignorance. As the kindled flame feeds on fuel till it sinks to ash, so unto ash the light of the open eye wastes ignorance away. There is no purifier like light in any realm, and he who seeketh it shall find it within. The light that informs you shall not perish this day. Weapons do not reach that place. Arrows do not pierce it, nor cold freeze it, nor fire make it dry. Thou art impenetrable, immortal, beyond the reach of weapon and foe. There is thy refuge, safe in truth. End and beginning are dreams. How wilt thou then, knowing it to be so, grieve the loss of ship and crew? Of body? Of life? If death and life are the same, for whom dost thou weep? Mourn not for that which cannot be otherwise. Arise, captain, and unleash the tide of war. She lays a hand on Picard's shoulder. Thus far I speak to thee in common tongue, but hear now the deeper teaching of the awakened mind. Thus understanding, thou shalt burst thy bondage and awaken unto the light which shall save thee from thy dread. Above all shines one rule and one rule alone, come what may, the show must go on. Picard, weakly. Tell me who you are. Show me your universal form. Are you creator? Preserver? Destroyer? Are you a god? A demon? Tell me. Borg Queen stands. You tell me, Jean-Luc Picard, who am I? Am I friend or foe? Savior or slayer? Am I the Borg Queen about to assimilate your species? Am I Q the trickster running you like a rat in a maze? Am I the computer subjecting you to a simulation? Am I Maya, architect of your delusion? Where are we now, Captain? On the bridge of a ship preparing for war? In a virtual reality game space? Perhaps in a darkened theater performing for a beholder unbeheld? Are you asleep at this very moment? Are you dreaming all this? If life is but a dream, Jean-Luc, whose dream is it? Wake up! Starship Gita Act 6, Enlightenment. The bridge returns to normal lighting. The Borg Queen peels off her mask and becomes the director. She starts slapping Picard/Patrick and yelling at him. Director, slapping and shaking him. Wake up! Patrick! Patrick! Wake up! What's wrong with you? Patrick! Picard/Patrick, confused, anxious. What? Patrick? I know that name. You mean I'm not really Captain Jean-Luc Picard? Director. Of course not, Patrick, you're an actor. Picard is just the role you're playing. Your character. Picard/Patrick. And this isn't really the Enterprise? Director. This? It's just a soundstage on a studio lot. Picard/Patrick. Then Geordi was right? We're not really on the verge of a terrible war? Director. Of course we are, in the script. What's wrong with you, Patrick? Did you get so far into character that you forgot who you really are? Picard/Patrick. But Q. The Borg Queen. It was all so real. Director. Look, Patrick, you had a psychotic break. It happens to actors. We get so immersed in a character that we forget who we really are. But now I need you to come back and remember what's going on so we can finish out the scene. I am not Maya or Q or Krishna or the Borg Queen. I am your director, Patrick, your friend and colleague. I am not here to set you free, but to remind you of who you really are, an actor in a dramatic production. I need you to stand up and start this war. Red alert, battle stations, remember? Picard slash Patrick struggles to his knees. Yes, yes, I know my lines, but how do I know this is real? Why should I think Patrick is any more real than Picard? What makes this world more real than another? This is just another layer, another veil that must be ripped away. Now is the time. I must take action or fall forever back into the endless gloom of the unawakened mind. Picard seizes the director by the throat. He rises to his feet as he chokes her. She resists. In a pillar of light, she morphs back into the Borg Queen. He continues strangling her as he speaks. Picard. You are Maya, goddess of illusion. You are Shiva, destroyer of worlds. You are Q the trickster and Krishna the prankster. You are the Borg Queen, and yes, I am already a drone, I see that now. But the time has come to awaken from this dream. Whatever the cost, I will no longer be deceived. I will do what must be done to end this lie. Whatever the price, I will have the truth. The Borg Queen slumps. Picard drops her body. He snaps his tunic taut and regains his command demeanor. He faces the two ships on the main screen as he speaks. Picard. My illusion is thus dispelled. The little bastard that found voice in LaForge now finds a champion in me. Whatever this is, whoever I am, one thing is certain: truth exists and untruth does not. That which is false can be destroyed, but truth can never be harmed. Now will I, a true son of Solomon, separate fact from fiction through the purifying power of fire. Now will I set torch to everything. Now will I destroy these ships and lay waste these armies. Now will I reduce everything and everyone to ash. The false shall be burned away, only truth shall remain. This is the day of my right birth, and I will not let fear dissuade me from my duty. If I die, then I was never real and nothing is lost. If I survive, then for the first time will I know truth from lie. Turns to bridge crew. Red alert. All hands to battle stations. The bridge is bathed in pulsing red light. Battle sirens wail. Picard takes his seat in the captain's chair. He presses a button on his console to address the entire ship. Picard. Crew of the Enterprise, this is your captain speaking. The time of reckoning has finally arrived. The unthinkable has become the inevitable and the great battle is about to commence. We do not enter this conflict with fearful hearts, but throw our arms wide out to embrace our destiny. This is not a time for fear and trembling, but for joy and great gladness. For too long have we been subject to an inequitable peace. Now at long last, we choose a just war. Brace for impact. Releases button. Stands. Snaps tunic taut. Picard. Mr. Data, prepare to ram the Borg ship and detonate the warp core. Mr. Worf, send a subspace message to Starfleet Command. This is the final report of the USS Enterprise. We have engaged the motherfucking Borg. Picard slowly smiles. Mr. Data, engage.
Thank you for listening. Visit wisefoolpress.com, jedmckenna.com and jedveda.com to see what else is new. Thank you.